John 17, 21. And who went to go read John 17, 21? Yes, it was at the back of the chocolates. If you didn't read it, who ate their chocolates and didn't read the card? Okay, well done. Thanks. There's one honest person. He's going, yeah. So, to Jake. Jake, can you tell us what that says? John 17, I'm joking. Someone give him a chocolate, quick. John 17, 21, Jesus prayed and he said, Father, make them one as you and I are one. And it just speaks about that unity. And just, you know, again, as Dylan was just praying and saying, Lord, thank you for the unity. And there is a sense that we're united. I think even this morning, even more so, our hearts are united and being together. And as we came, you know, just as I was considering this, I said, Lord, that's my prayer for this weekend, that we can be a model in a sense of just unity and of those that, and we don't just say it, but we live it. Because it's easy to say we're together. And my preach is not on unity. So, yeah, well I'm going to share on that. But I want us to really see that we are united. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to be of one heart, one mind, one purpose. Even one speech the Bible speaks about that will talk the same. How crazy is that? Have you noticed husbands, wives? Have you noticed that you start speaking the same like your wife? Maybe not in like pitch, but you know, hopefully not. Check your underpants if you are. But hello. No. Sorry. Thank goodness my wife's not here. Otherwise, I would have been in trouble. But we start speaking the same. Like, I've noticed how Leanne and myself start using the same kind of words. And I've noticed, being in Josh Gen for 22 years, I started speaking the way Andrew speaks. Started speaking the way Mike Davies speaks. Because those are men that I follow. Yeah, not in the English accent, but using the same kind of words. Because we're of one heart, one mind, one spirit. Eugene, don't you want to come share what you shared with me last night quickly? Just want to tie this in. Glad I saw you there. Just during worship last night, Eugene just shared this word, and I think it's so good.
Hi. So it was actually before Mervis started singing about the wine and everything, it was just such confirmation. The Lord sort of reminded me of the wedding feast when Jesus turned the water into wine. And the Lord just said, you know what? There was nothing in the water that could produce the wine. You know, it was two completely different substances. But Jesus took the water and he turned it into wine. And as we basically, you know, as we surrender to the Lord and we give him what we have, even though there's nothing in there that can make what he wants to do in our lives, he will take that water and he will make it wine. It's got nothing to do with you in the end of the day. It's got everything to do with what he wants to do in your life. So he will make the wine. You just give him what you have. If it's water, give him water. You know, he will make it a wine.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Amen. Let's go home. that's just such a beautiful picture for me. What can we bring to the Lord? What do we have? We've got absolutely nothing good within us. But if we bring what we've got, who we are, and we say, Lord, I give it to you. You are Lord of all. You are everything. God takes that, what we give him, and he turns it into wine. And wine represents that just the life of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is often talked about like, don't get drunk with wine, but get drunk with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, fullness. It's a life that is free, that is living for the Lord. And like the Spirit of God, we don't know where he comes or goes. The Bible speaks about the wind of the Spirit. And that's how we live our lives. Today we hear. Tomorrow we're in America. Today we hear, tomorrow we leading someone to the Lord. Today we hear, who knows what tomorrow is going to bring. But bring what you've got to the Lord and let him turn that into something that is incredibly precious for him. And, you know, the Bible speaks, if you read that, said that the hosts of that wedding said it was the best wine they ever had. And that's what God does. He takes our nothingness and he turns it into something incredible. And again, don't get puffed up, because who are we? We are nothing. We are but dust. But the Lord takes and fills us up. And, you know, Merv said that last night. He said to me afterwards, he's got a sense that us as a congregation, the Lord's going to let us drink from His wine. And that means I think we're going to go into times of incredible Holy Spirit moments, being led by the Spirit. As I've been preparing this thing on deacons, I've been looking at the Holy Spirit as well, because the Holy Spirit works through. Don't be surprised if some of us start seeing, praying for people to get raised from the dead. If we start seeing limbs move, if we start seeing, you know, all sorts of things by the power of the Holy Spirit. But even more so, don't be surprised if, as the Holy Spirit fills us, that we're united even together more. Because I think those are the more important things to see, is the power to be united, the power to forgive one another, the power to reconcile, the power to think of others more highly than yourself. Those are the most important things. The power to, Lord, my possessions are not my own, it's yours. Like we saw it during this camp. And the thing that I believe the Lord wants to sort of cement within us to this weekend is this, that we are one, the fellowship that we have with one another. It's one of the four pillars. You know, Acts 2 verse 42 to 47, thank you so much. You know, we can almost recite it. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to the prayers, and to breaking of bread. And that to fellowship, that word is what I sense the Lord wanted to do here within us this weekend. And what does that fellowship look like? What is that word? How do we devote ourselves to fellowship? Have you thought about that? Is fellowship just a braai? Yes and no. You know? Is fellowship just having meals together in the week? Yes and no. I remember coming to Josh Jen as a bachelor. So back in the day before I was married, Brendan, you might remember this as well. Madly will also remember this. We had bring and shares, and I would come with my packet of chips, Simba chips, and I would go, please, Lord Jesus, let someone bring a steak, because I'll bring and I'll share. Chart, he's still doing that. The bachelors, that's what you do. You go, I'm bringing my best, eh? That's a packet of chips. That's what I've got, you know? And we do that. We, you know, when we come together, what do we bring? Bring and share. There's actually such a picture of fellowship. It's a picture of what we do. And imagine this, being invited to a bring and share like we all have had. What do you bring? What do you think of bringing? So my wife thinks of three salads and steaks for everybody. I think of hamburger patties, you know. So my wife will think about dessert and everything. She's got the gift of hospitality. So I'll just thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. But what do you bring? Yeah? Do you think about just the packet of chips? Or do you think about, what can I bring that others can share? Do I just bring something for myself? Or do I bring even the more? And I think it's such a picture of this word fellowship, because the word fellowship is koinonia. That's what it means. And part of that, a way to describe that is shared participation. You participate. What you do, what you bring matters. And as we devote ourselves to fellowship, to one another, to say, my portion that I bring counts, it actually adds to the bring and share of what God's busy doing. Because we bring ourselves, but we share ourselves at the same time. And if you look at that word, it just really goes into the intensity of what fellowship is. Because in that Acts 2 verse 42 to 47, it actually says what fellowship is. And fellowship is this. And all those who had believed, we believed, were in the same place. And we are in the same place. God has called us to Melkbos. It's not by chance that we all live there. And then it said, they had all things as in common sharing. That's that word. We've got all things in common sharing. What we bring matters. And then it goes on and it said, and they began selling their properties and their possessions, and they were sharing with everyone as anyone might have need. That is intense. Stop for a moment quickly. Think about your possessions. Think about your stuff. What do you have? I often used to say, you know, we say this thing, what's in your fridge is mine, and what's mine fridge is yours. And I said, okay, well, it doesn't really matter to my garage. What's in my garage is my garage, you know. But the Lord's challenged me on that. Would I sell stuff for other people? You know, and some of us have. Some of us have in the past. And then you think, but Lord, how can I do that? How can I sell my stuff? Because didn't I work for this? And I think in our Western mindset, we go, this is mine. I've labored for this. I've worked for this. You know that even that thinking is wrong. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, I didn't give you the scripture, but it says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. How hectic is that? You're even producing wealth. It's not your cleverness. It's not your ability to sell. It's not your ability to do this. It's not because you studied. And if we really go, Lord of all, even that, God, even the wealth that I make, and for us living in Melbourne, we are wealthy. We are part of the 2% of the most wealthy people in the world. And you know why I can say that? Studies have shown if you have got a roof over your head or you've got your own bed, and you're not sharing a room, not with your husband and your wife, I mean as a family, and you've got one car, you're part of the most 2% of the most wealthiest people in this world. We are that. And how do we hold on to what is ours? I've been challenged lately to go, Lord, what's mine is not mine. Because I'm not taking one surfboard to heaven. I'm not taking my cars to heaven. My home, trust the Lord, I can leave it to my kids. I hope they're wise with it, and I hope they give it away if they have to, whatever they need to do with it one day. But Leanne and myself, we've had these discussions. We've got, whatever we have is yours. How do we use it for your glory? And if we have to sell everything, we'll sell it. Can you imagine that rich young ruler when he came to, when Jesus said, go and sell everything you have and follow me. How hectic was that? But that is this word, fellowship. That's this word. Shared, commonly sharing in everything. Because God shares His best to us. What did the Lord give us? He gave His Son, firstly, to die on the cross. And then secondly, the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us. And as I've been looking at this word, devoted to fellowship, devoted to sharing our whatever we've got. It talks about our time, our finances, our possessions, everything. It's not mine, it's yours. That's the way I see it. If you need a surfboard, I've got a surfboard. You can come borrow it. I've got a car. If someone needs a car, in America right now, I was blown away. Young man, 18 years old, rooting up his life and moving to America, leaving everything he has here. And he's going to be working his behind off. Someone just walked up and said he has a car. Just gave him a car. I've heard of guys planting churches right now. Guy in Bloemfontein, I think it is, planted a church. Young guy, married, just full of the life of God. And as he, first Sunday, a guy walked up to him and said, I bought you a house. Bought you a house. How incredible is that? Can you imagine? Because what is a house? Really? What is a house? Like we think in our brain, we go, this is it. If I can own a house, I've made it. No. Our Western thinking comes in so much because we go, how do we see ourselves? That word that Hane brought, God wants to take us from refugees to people that fully trust Him. What do we live for? What do we sweat for? Is it for the king and the kingdom, or is it for possessions that we can't even take with us into heaven one day? And I want to stir us up as a people to say, Lord, we want to be devoted to fellowship. We want to be those that freely gives. And again, I don't even want to balance it out with being wise. Because that's what we do, isn't it? Isn't that what we do? Let's just be wise. I want to retire one day. Where did the concept of retiring come in? You thought about that? We got to be refired. Retiring is not in the Bible. If you're building up a retirement fund or something, I don't know if I see that in the Bible. It's a scary thought. But here's our thing. Fear and mistrust on the Lord grips our heart. Because Lord, what if I don't have food in my pantry? Who's the God that we serve? Who remembers the story of the five breads and the two fishes? Story of the water and the wine. God takes our nothing, water. It's nothing. Turns it into the best choice wine ever. God is a God that will look after us. Look at the sparrows. Look at this view. Look at the birds. Look at everything. Do they worry about those things? The Bible says, no. We don't have to worry about that. Because God will look after us. So I wanted to shift something within us this weekend to say, can we be of those that live our life in such a way of our time, our money, our possessions, our everything? Say, Lord, it's yours. And see how God's going to come through for you. God loves a generous giver and someone that's joyful, that goes, Lord, I get it. You are my provider. You are my everything. It's words that we can easily say, but has it gone from here to here? That's the longest distance anything has to travel in our lives. Isn't that right? Have you noticed that in your life? You know it, but has it become something in your heart? And are you willing to go, Lord, I'm willing to give up whatever it is for your kingdom and for what you're wanting to do? Does that make sense? And I felt this morning, just for us, if we had that sort of like that thinking, the wrong thinking of like, Lord, I want to plan for my retirement. I want to plan for, you know, I can go down this road and maybe I should. Insurance. What is insurance? Do you have insurance out of fear for not being able to replace what you've got? And I'm not saying insurance is a bad thing, please. Insurance is not a bad thing. But what is our motives? Health insurance. Do we go, what if? We live in the what if. I can walk out here today and baboon can grab me at the neck. And you know? Thank goodness there's no kids. All the parents are like. But, you know, we can't live that way. It falls down in our heart motives. The fears that grip us. Because we look around at society and the world, the things of this world. We look at that and we go, Lord, that should be the way that we need to go. God goes, that's not my way. Jesus said, foxes have holes to sleep in. Birds have nests to sleep in. But the Son of Man has got nowhere to put his head on his pillow. So come, follow me. Are we following the real Jesus? So please don't go sell all your possessions and go live on the street. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? But it is our hearts. What are our hearts? When we hear people going to America or going on outreaches, are we, Lord, I don't have the time, but I can financially support. Or when you go, I've got time, I don't have money, I can go and say, Lord, but will you provide? I know of a young lady, well, she's not that young anymore. She earns, I think it's 15,000 rand a month. That's what she earns before tax. So after tax, probably about 12. She goes on 2 international outreaches every year. How crazy is that? 2. She trusts the Lord for 2 international outreaches. Every year she goes. And I'm just blown away. And when she goes, she's literally got family across the world. Across the world. And I just go, and she says, the Lord says, go. Ask and I'll give you the nations. That's what the Lord said. Have you asked for the nations? And for us to go be those people that trust the Lord, that lives for Him, that gives Him everything. And having that fellowship with Him firstly, and then with one another, and looking here and going, Lord, who is in need here that I can give? And at the same time, going and preaching and getting out there. Because your life counts. One day we're going to stand in front of the Lord, and He's not going to say, hey, what have you accumulated for me? You got a house, you got a car, you got this. Awesome. Cool. You're going to go, no. That I know you, and did you obey and follow me in everything? And I want us to be of those people that say, Lord, our lives are not our own. We surrender our lives. We surrender everything we have, God. And yes, if you've blessed us, if you've given us the strength to create wealth, how do we steward that? How do we live the way that will honor you in everything that we do? How do we use our homes, open them up for the family of God? Have people live in there at times. Leanne and myself, we've often had people stay with us. Not pay rent, stay with us. A couple got saved. They weren't husband and wife, they were unsaved. Not once did I say to them, you got to move out. I said, Holy Spirit, please convict them. The guy phones me one night, 9 o'clock at night. He says, Boren, the Holy Spirit is so convicting us. We cannot even get into bed tonight together. What do we do? I said, come. Bring all your stuff, come live by us. The girl stayed by us for 6 months until they got married. I was like, that's what the kingdom of God is. You know? Because how do we help those guys come through and everybody come through into the mall that they have? So for us, part of those 2% of the riches in the world, how do we live our lives? How do we become one? And that people will look at us and go, what's different with those people? Because they don't live for the things of this world. They live for you. Last night in worship, and I want to end with this. I was reminded, or I had the picture again of Moses standing at the burning bush. You all know that story? Moses busy taking the flock. And the Bible actually says that Moses was walking and he saw a bush burning and it wasn't getting burned out. And then Moses said to himself, let me go see what that bush is, what is going on there. And then the next verse says, as the Lord saw that Moses turned towards the burning bush, God spoke. And I realized we can keep on going in life. We can see God burning. We can see the new wine. We can see the bushes. We can see the fire of God. We can see the Holy Spirit. But we can carry on with our lives, not even worry about these things that we see. Are we those people that stop and look and go, Lord, where are you? I want to go towards where you are going. And as we do that, God will speak. God will act. God will move in our lives. And as we this weekend close and just go, Lord, we want to be those that are dedicated, devoted to fellowship, to koinonia, to oneness. And as we do that, can you come and speak and lead and guide us? Amen? You want to add something? Good. Yes.
Some business guys. I can see some business guys twitching like, ooh. Yeah, I think Boren touched on it. If you've been anointed, I'll use the word, to create wealth. And God does it. He across Josh, and there's some guys that are super wealthy, but they have open hands, and they trust God. Yes, God pours the wealth into their hands. And God, you know what? We need finances in the kingdom. And God does have a gifting on some guys just to create wealth. I look across here and I know many of those. But use it wisely. Be those that hands are open. And then be ready to release that when God says, hey, I need you somewhere, or I want you in a different part of the world, whatever it might look like, that you would be those that hold on lightly and obey the word of God and see how it comes through. So a quick example as we close. A lot of you know my mom and dad. You might have heard the story, but my dad is now almost 90. My mom is 82. And they did work within us in Melbourne. A lot of you do know them. But 50 years ago, they were very wealthy. They were in the estate business, and they were doing really well. And God called them to Rhodesia, which is now Zimbabwe, during the war. And some of you have heard the story, but they went across obediently. They sold up everything, went across, and gave up their lives and served the Lord in a Bible school there, sent for about a year, or 2 years. And they got there, and a couple from Canada were there. And they went from Canada and ended up going back to their homeland in Canada. And about 30 years later, that couple led someone else to the Lord in Canada. And now, 50 years later, my parents are retired. They don't have much energy. Their energy levels right now, serving the Lord, is doing communion every afternoon and praying for people that need prayer. That's the amount that they can give. But that couple went back to Canada. Someone got saved through them. And now, 50 years later, that couple that got saved from the time in Rhodesia, from them going across, now support my mom and dad, probably higher salaries than most anybody in this place gets. And they obediently went, but God provided. My dad didn't have retirement annuities and all this, but they trusted God. And to this day, every month on the 25th, money comes from Canada of all places and provides for them. And that is how God works. So they gave up what they had, but they've reaped so much more and by trusting God. I've watched the story of their lives. And so for us as business guys, involved in business, ladies, trust the Lord. Go all out, do well, make great wealth, but be good stewards, and then be ready to release and hold on lightly when God does call you. So just a practical example, but not to balance it in any way, but be ready to be used, and when God does use you, be generous, and watch how God comes through. Amen? So I hope that helps, just a little nugget there.
And again, I just want to say, it's not about the money. It's about our hearts. And about seeing and knowing our God. And I quickly want to put this scripture up in Psalm, what was it, 84, I think it was. And we know this, it's about the sons of Korah and how the sons of Korah got restored after defiling the Lord. And they say, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere, Lord. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. The next thing. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. God is our sun and our shield. It speaks of provision and safety. The sun is provision and the shield is safety. And God doesn't withhold any good thing. And then in Luke, this scripture that just always blows me away. Where God speaks to Jesus, and the same thing, that's to us as well. The Lord said, my son, the Father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. Shame, he just wiped out. It's okay. Everything I have is yours. And that's our dad. Everything our dad's got, it's ours. So for us, can we live that way? And again, I this morning want to encourage, it's not about the money. It's not about money. It's not about that. It's about our lives fully devoted as we devote ourselves to one another, to fellowship, to the Lord ultimately. Fellowship with him will translate into fellowship with us. Amen.